473. Thank you.
Okay, anybody else? Hearing none, we'll close the hearing until this afternoon. Carry the bill over till this afternoon. Now, where are you going to be?
I'm going to be doing lottery this afternoon.
Lottery this afternoon.
Girl from hell.
Okay, well, I think it's pretty clear, I think we'll just need to look.
I'd like to have a draft. I'll see a draft of the melded bill so that we can go down and look at all the words and make sure we've said what we want.
Substitute.
And all of those folks out here can say, yes, that's what they heard too.
Okay.
Rather than hearing about it later, so.
We'll seek a substitute from Gail, that we know she's irreplaceable.
We'll see what we can make.
Okay.
We'll find the book tomorrow.
Okay, the next one is 263, I'd like to open a public hearing on 263. Who's here to tell us about 263?
Mr. Chairman.
Who's here to tell us about 263?
Ah.
Are you the chief person on 263? Well, we have to start with the chief person. Who's the chief person on 263?
Senator Cohen and Jerry Powell. Jerry is unavoidably detained in Portland, and I was asked to make a few comments.
You get to see it.
His behalf.
Okay.
I don't know Senator Cohen.
Okay.
My name is Paul Cosgrove, Mr. Chairman, Committee representing the American Paper Institute. Senate Bill 263, as it comes to you, creates a mandatory fee on franchisees of solid waste with funds to go to the Public Utility Commission for the purpose of providing technical assistance in a variety of areas. Mr. Powell and I have proposed amendments to Senate.
Well, let's not do amendments yet. Let's look to the main bill.
With respect to the main bill, that's about all I can say about it.
Okay.
I know that it was originally introduced in 1989 by Mr. Powell. It was approved by the Senate Agriculture and Natural Resources Committee this session and brought to you. It does have a fiscal impact.
And is the subject of no small amount of elbowing, jostling, as I understand it.
I think that's correct.
Okay. Marshall, would you try to track down, or ask one of the staff out here to track down Senator Cohen and see if she wants to come back?
Mr. Chairman, by the time she gets here, I won't be here, so.
Okay.
I'm not sure of those. Am I wrong? That's true.
Still need to do that?
Yeah, why don't you just call her office and see if she will come down quickly? Doug, why don't you share the fiscal impact of the bill so we're aware of it?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, if I may, I have some materials.
Excuse me, Leonard. Leonard, our staff.
Mr. Chairman, Claudia House with the Public Utility Commission was explaining that in Senate Substantive Committee, they reached a compromise agreement on how this measure would be implemented, and the figures in front of you are the result of that.
Buddy, why don't you come up and join us up here? You can stay there.
Paired the estimated cost of the measure down from above $800,000 down to about the $300,000 range that you have in front of you. And that was done by changing the way that they would implement the bill, and I think Claudia can speak to that.
Okay, Claudia, why don't you tell us first what the PUC would be required to do under the bill, and then justify your fiscal?
Chair Hill, members of the committee, I'm Claudia House, Deputy Assistant Commissioner with the Public Utility Commission Transportation Program. I kind of hate to do this, but the staff work in this bill was done by the manager of our rate section, and I have brought her with me this morning, and she can explain exactly what the positions will be doing. And I'd like to ask Bobby Vrains to come up and explain that, if that's all right with the committee.
Now, we get Mr. Cosgrove to step down, we'll get the.
Somebody can tell us what this bill does.
Yeah, I'm still waiting to hear what the PUC would do. What does this make the PUC do? We're under handicap here, we don't know what it makes you do.
Good morning. I am Bobby Vrains, the manager of the Transportation Rates Section. PUC's function basically would be to act as a liaison for local districts in establishing their costs. Senate Bill 263 directs the Public Utility Commission to provide cost information on selected solid waste collectors to local government units and other solid waste collection services. Specifically, PUC's cost system would determine the cost of providing various solid waste collection services, including recycling. under the provisions of the bill, PUC would not have any authority over the regulation of solid waste collection rates. This function would remain with the local units. At the present time, PUC conducts cost and rate studies for economically regulated segments of the motor carrier industry. These cost studies provide information needed for decisions in motor carrier rate cases. In order to determine specific costs for use in rate making for the solid waste collection industry, it would be necessary to develop an industry-specific cost program. And this is currently what we do for the common and contract carriers operating in Oregon. We have specific computerized cost programs specifically fit to this to these industry segments, whether it be United Parcel Service or Greyhound. We no longer really have much impact there, but the local passenger services that we do regulate. For us to be able to really do a sufficient job, we would need to probably have use the services of a cost management firm currently based in Phoenix, Arizona.
Okay, wait, can I interrupt you there?
Sure.
On section 3 of the bill, okay. I just discovered it says what the PUC will do, okay, which is what the first thing we need answered, or else we won't continue the discussion. And it has a PUC providing technical assistance, local governmental units, and persons offering solid waste collection services. Currently, I take it you don't offer such assistance. Okay, and on line 14 of page 2, you would develop a model solid waste collection tariff format. You would develop a model annual financial report and accompanying system of accounts for persons collecting solid waste. And you would apply a cost system which determines reasonable costs of waste and recycling collection, including labor, vehicle, insurance, overhead, and typical costs used to establish rates. And you would develop a cost study to determine solid waste collection costs from data obtained from persons offering the service. So basically, you're giving them models. You're giving solid waste hauler models that they can use to set their own rates.
Basically, a latchkey program.
Okay.
Specifically established for varying sizes of companies. We currently regulate in the common contract carrier industry, regulate companies with 100,000 less in revenues up to a UPS with billions in revenues. So it would be designed specific to regional size, capabilities of their service, whether it includes recycling, these kinds of things.
Okay, and you'd need two FTEs to do it. Now, did you suggest the bills? Did this come from PUC?
No.
Okay. Trying to figure out who's cleaning it.
Environmental Hazardous Materials.
Okay.
I request of Senator Cohen as a member of that committee.
That's where it came from. And we contacted Senator Cohen, she won't be coming down. So we will go on without her. You guys, how did you guys testify? How did PUC testify on the bill? You're in support of the bill in its current form?
No, we take no position on
no
the bill.
Position. No
you
position.
You can technically do the work if you're required to do it and give them the resources to do it. Is that correct?
The resources, we are currently
okay.
doing it.
Okay, because we're almost out of time, I'm going to have to ask you to retreat to the audience, and I'm going to ask again this gentleman, and you're going to have to give us your name. We need your name for the record. Marshall's out of the room.
Bobby, B-O-B-B-I-E, Brains, V as in victory, R-A-N-E-S.
Thank you. Okay, and is there anybody else from the industry or from any agency who wants to testify on this particular bill? Diana? Okay, we've got several. Let's see, let's just start the front work back. Diana, why don't you come up and sit here, please, so you can comment.
So you might want to have the cities and counties comment for me. I'd like to have my
clients
come up,
actually. Okay,
yeah, that's probably pretty good.
Okay, let's have a county rep come up.
We're doing that.
Doug, what's your last name?
Paul Cosgrove.
Paul,
Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
Call him anything as long as you're calling him.
Okay. Paul, don't give us your amendments. You have to speak to the original bill.
On behalf of American Paper Institute, we took no position on the original bill.
Not opposed, not for.
Not opposed, not for. We believe that the concept of providing technical assistance to local governments in setting rates, some of which are not prepared to do that very well, is beneficial to all ratepayers, including business and including our companies.
Okay.
So we are supportive of the concept of providing that technical assistance, but have no particular position on that kind of bill.
Okay, thanks. Tom?
Mr. Chair, Tom O'Connor for the League of Oregon Cities. The League of Oregon Cities Executive Committee, Executive Board, and Legislative Committee reviewed this legislation at the time it was in the Senate. What we currently do now, Mr. Chair, is provide, the League of Oregon Cities provides through a peer match program the kinds of technical assistance, although not as sophisticated, I'm sure, as is included in this bill. What we do is to, when a community calls the office and needs some information about solid waste regulation and rates, what we usually do is put them in touch with a community, an attorney, a city attorney, who has gone through this particular rate-setting procedure recently or the particular regulations that are involved. That's the way we generally handle those kinds of issues. The Executive Committee and the Legislative Committee agreed that they would prefer to continue to handle this kind of technical assistance in that manner, rather than requiring the services of the PUC.
Okay, are you for or against the bill?
Mr. Chair, the position that the council, that our board took was that we would prefer to provide the service ourselves.
So you're not in support of the bill?
Not in support.
Okay, thank you. Gordon, with the county's on record?
We concur with the cities. We too oppose the bill.
You oppose the bill. Okay, who else wants to speak? Let's see, Mike? You're closest to the front. Paul, just stay there. You've got to remember. I know.
Thank you.
You're the one who spoke up at the beginning, so you ought to have the privilege with Stephen Front.
Thank you, Ms. Chair.
Quick.
For the record, Mike, you're Oregon Waste Systems. We are also in the transportation and collection of solid waste.
Okay.
We oppose the bill. Let me say very quickly, you did pass Senate Bill 66. It's going to require some $30 to $40 million additional dollars from ratepayers. You have a bill that has a blank in it that no one has told us what that is going to be to provide the services from the PUC. As you know, collection companies now pay in most areas a franchise fee, some up to 5%. I would make the assumption that those dollars should go to this kind of thing at the local level. That's what it's all about, as opposed to the PUC. I had more to say, but recognizing time, we also would like to comment on an amendment that will be offered.
Or Paul's amendment?
At the appropriate time.
Are you for it or against it?
I'm against it.
Okay, just so we know. Who else here is against the bill? Anybody for the bill? Okay.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Dwayne Sorensen. I'm president of Waste Control Systems in Corvallis, here also representing OSSI today. We are against the bill. Our company itself operates in 25 franchise areas. We have not yet had a request for information from the PUC. We generally provide them with detailed information, cost information, what type of service we have to. Most collectors have that available if they want to. Also, I'd like to point out that there are a number of cities and counties that, cities in general, like Eugene, which has no franchise license, has its own rate regulation procedure. Corvallis, we do an audit financial statement, complete full audit. Washington County has its own rate methodology up there that uses, which would conflict with possible method here.
Okay.
I'd also like to point out, I think the PUC is a regulator of point-to-point transportation. This industry is very different. You have different service requirements in various communities. Senate Bill 66 is setting up those different service requirements, so it'd be a very difficult job to provide a cost model that would service all those various different service requirements. And finally, I'd like to point out the state of Washington has a similar issue where the PUC up there regulates only the county portion of their rates up there, not the cities. And their cost up there is about $3 million plus to regulate just that part of the state up there.
Okay. Thank you. Against the bill. Thanks. Okay. Nobody for the bill. Correct? Raise your hand if you're for the bill.
I got a great idea.
Okay.
How about if we substitute DMV?
Okay, I want to give Paul the opportunity to present his amendment.
Yeah,
go ahead. You've got about 3 more minutes.
The proposed amendments that you're seeing, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, are sponsored by American Paper Institute and the...
Okay, Paul, cut right to the chase. What do they do?
They make the mandatory provisions as 263 permissive. They get rid of the fee and say that the PUC may do this if it wants to do it within its current funding. I don't know whether PUC would be willing to do that. It does not mandate that they do that. It adds 2 sections to which are in a related issue, 459.015, Section 3 of amendments, and 459.192. This is an issue that has become increasingly important to all members of the business community, including the Associated Oregon Industries, the Farm Bureau, the steel industry, and American Paper Institute, all of which support this particular amendment. And it tries to clarify an ambiguity in current law. Our members have been subject to numerous cease and desist orders by people who believe that the current franchising authority of local governments extends to commercial recycling. That's an issue that was settled and resolved in 1983. Unfortunately, the words used in ORS 459-192 were not the clearest. This is an attempt to make that absolutely clear.
This is to make clear that commercial recycling is not subject to franchise provisions of state law.
That is correct.
Okay. Now, we have one person on record, Waste Management's representative. Who else is on record against your amendment? Who else? Okay. I see the counties, I see OSSI, I see the cities, and who over here? OSSI. Who's in support of your amendment?
Associated Oregon Industries, the Oregon Farm Bureau, the steel industry, and American Paper Institute, as well as the Association for Oregon Recyclers.
Okay, so we've got a... No? We have disagreement.
There's a disagreement.
Can anyone hear from those organizations at this point?
Say it again, AOI?
Oregon Farm Bureau, the steel industry, American Paper Institute, and there seems to be a disagreement about what position or Associated Oregon Industries is. Jerry Powell, who's a past president, is a prime sponsor of these amendments. There may be other members of Associated Oregon Recyclers who have other views, so maybe that organization is not consistent.
Okay, it has substantial opposition as well as substantial support. Obviously not a consensus amendment. I think that's fair to say.
That is correct.
I've been instructed by the co-chairs not to gut and stuff bills or permit gutting and stuffing, although we can amend bills. Unfortunately, the original content of this bill is not going anywhere, I don't think. It appears to have very little support. So I'm not sure we can even consider your amendment because the original content of 263 is dead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
But we have it on record, and if things change within the next few hours or the next day or so, we know what your amendment is. Okay, thanks. I'd like to close the hearing on 263, and we'll convene at about 3:15, I think, practically speaking, this afternoon. We'll be looking at the language on 473. We'll be looking at Senate Bill 763 regarding railroad passenger service, House Bill 2295 regarding PUC's authority to stop vehicles, and also hopefully we'll be looking at House Bill 2297, which was the total vehicle bill, if we have any advancement on that bill. If we have agreement on the committee on that bill, we'll take up that bill. So until 3:15. EQ comes tomorrow morning.
Thank you.
Coyle was here and said he wanted to speak on 763.
I'm here.
Okay, I thought...
I've been waiting patiently.
Okay, let's open a public hearing on Senate Bill 763. Welcome.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, member of the committee. State Senator Bill McCoy, District 8, North Portland. Senate Bill 763 does the planning, is here to do the planning for high-speed rail. Now, we understand that the planning is being done from Vancouver, Washington, Vancouver, B.C. to Seattle and into Portland. It is planned here that we should go as far as Eugene with the planning for high speed. It is only a planning bill. It doesn't commit the state to anything else other than just to do the planning. As you know, the people in California are planning on two lines. I think one from Los Angeles to Las Vegas and another from Oakland to Sacramento. That's in the planning stages as well. We have talked to the people there and hope that those lines would be extended so that possibly we could go all the way from Sacramento to Portland or Seattle or wherever. That's all the whole bill is, Mr. Chair.
Okay, the Energy Department of Energy, Department of Transportation, PUC would participate.
Yes, they would participate.
Who would actually hold the plan? Who would actually be responsible, the lead agency for the plan? It would be Department of Energy?
It was the Department of Energy. It's the one that we had plugged for that.
Was there a fiscal impact?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. There's, and what did that one say?
It says $75,000 general fund of the Department of Energy for services and supplies.
There we go.
For 763?
Be engrossed.
Be engrossed.
You might even...
Mine has no... Well, that's revenue. Okay, Mike, do you have... Yeah, here it is. Mike, do you have any observations?
Mr. Chairman, the fiscal impact statement on the B engrossed bill does contain an estimate of $75,000. There was an... That was the same impact that was on the A engrossed bill. The difference between the B engrossed bill and the A engrossed bill is the insertion of bus systems in addition to the rail systems. The folks from the three agencies involved did not believe that the addition of those bus systems into the study would materially affect their impact requirements. The bill provides for the utilization of the three agencies of the advice of organizations, including but not limited to the Association of Railway Passengers and the High-Speed Rail Association. I believe the co-chairs had some interest in seeing that there was also a broader advisory committee also appointed. There was another piece of legislation in 836 that would actually provide for a task force. I believe the interest was to not have a formally appointed task force, but to have some understanding with the agencies involved that there would be a rather broad-based advisory committee, including members of the legislature, to oversee the conduct of the study. And I don't know whether that has to be drafted into the bill to include that kind of a advisory committee along with the Railway Passenger and High-Speed Rail Association.
Couple of questions.
Yes.
Senator McCoy, ODOT is doing some comprehensive transportation studies that include various, is multimodal, they call it, various types of transportation. Could we fill the rail study into a multimodal transportation study?
Mr. Chair, ODOT has been doing those studies for centuries. They were ordered to do this years and years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I understand, they are not doing passenger planning. They are doing for rail service. And that's the nearest information that I have. We asked this in our committee on transportation, and that's what is really being done.
Why can't we compel them to review passenger as well? Wouldn't it make more sense to have...
They're not in the business to do the passenger service. That's not their charge, so I was told.
Well, we could change that. I mean, we could make it their charge. The question is, could they use available highway funds for this study?
Would have a different impact statement, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the other...
Because they'd have to farm the work out. And here, the beauty of this is that we're getting citizens involved in helping do the planning. This planning would really cost quite a bit of money if without the help of the Passenger Association and the High Speed Rail Association people.
Will they be contributing money to the study, or?
I don't know. They'll be contributing the computer time, all of the planners and planners that they have all over the state. So we're getting quite a bit, I think.
Okay. Questions?
I guess the part that intrigues me the most out of what I'm seeing here is the bus passenger.
Yeah, that was an addition.
Yeah. Can you give us an idea of what that might consist of, or what new might be brought out with that?
Well, it seems that from what I understand, the bus service throughout the state is just drying up.
Yeah, exactly.
And perhaps to plan some routes, and I suppose PUC would have to try to figure out just how they would go about doing that, and
yeah,
who they could bring in to,
yeah,
mm-hmm, to provide the service.
I thought for some time that it's time to review deregulation of bus service in an effort to accelerate development of new bus lines.
Is it not deregulated?
It's not fully deregulated. It's regulated by the PUC, isn't it? Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Interesting. But if we deregulated it, there's a downside. There's an instability, but there's also an upside. You'd have a heck of a lot more activity out there in troupenaires, as long as bus activity met safety requirements.
Mm-hmm.
Why not do it? And we'd have green tortoises all over the place, wouldn't we? Yeah. No seeds, but it was cheap. Anyway, that's beyond the immediate bill. If there's no additional questions, I'd like to ask if anyone in the audience wants to testify for or against this bill. First, four. Who wants to testify for this bill? Nobody. One? Mike? Mike Rainey?
He's got a bias.
Yes.
You're welcome to stay.
I'll have to see what he's saying.
Yeah.
Good.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mike Rainey from the Department of Energy. We do support the bill, and I also wanted to clarify that the fiscal impact statement that we filed reflects the combined costs, our best estimate of the combined costs of the three agencies.
203.
Right.
So it's a net.
Right.
But it's all, okay.
And
so the cost to Department of Energy would be one-third?
Well, and in fact, in terms of direct efforts, the staffing efforts we would do essentially with our existing staff, what we're anticipating is the cost being for the some of the expert consultants that we would need to assist the three agencies.
Okay.
Well, I guess my question maybe is to the senator elections, why is energy in this thing at all?
And ask Terrence come to.
Well, we talked about saving it.
Next answer?
I think that seriously, it certainly felt that energy and PUC, all of these agencies, have to do with transportation in some form or the other.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Cleary, I would add, I think there is interest and responsibilities from all three agencies. It makes sense for all of us to be involved. I don't know as it's important that we be the lead necessarily. We're happy to have someone else be the lead, but we see some significant energy issues in encouraging mass transit and encouraging it to be successful.
Okay.
We haven't passed out all of transportation's budget, have we?
Yes, we have.
Yeah, we're done with it.
All up. We have just DEQ and energy, and it doesn't fit in DEQ as well, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I think we have a transit division.
Yes, we do.
Department of Transportation.
Yeah, there you
mm-hmm. go. I don't know why they couldn't coordinate all that. Just because they save energy. I mean, we could change lights here and let Department of Energy run the Capitol.
I guess I question that the need for that. Well, clearly, the idea of having them direct is really a stretch as far as I'm concerned. But I'm not sure